Welcome to Hard Reboot, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And today we are doing the next in our sequel series that we promised y'all. We're sequelizing The Most Dangerous Game.
Bum, bum.
And I think for maybe the first time in a minute, all of us re-listened to the episode.
Yep.
And are prepared.
I re-listened to it yesterday. Fair warning. I was also playing a video game, so...
I did the same thing. I was playing Tales of Arise doing side quests.
I started up Fallout 4, because Matt was playing it over on Twitch, and I was getting frustrated at him being a melee build, because I don't understand how anyone can do those. You're doing it fine. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it's weird.
So I was like, I'm going to start one, so I was just doing that, and I had to, like... kind of grind because I was getting my ass whipped by raiders at the fucking Corvega plant. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even get to the door. They were just beating me up so hard. So I had to get a couple levels so I could get some prayer. Anyway, so I was doing that while listening to this episode and the next one because we're going to record it right after this. So if I forgot stuff, it's because I was trying to survive in the wasteland at the time. So...
that's totally
very fair. I was just playing an anime game, being an anime boy with anime problems, and that's my excuse.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think this all tracks for everybody so far.
So we have our pre-existing. To remind everybody, this is a sequel to the Most Dangerous Game episode that we did 2 years ago.
MDG.
So I'm going to ping us a little bit.
Ooh.
Real facts. I only got about halfway through Most Dangerous Game. I did all of Dracula. I only got about halfway through Most Dangerous Game. We didn't actually do the research part of Most Dangerous Game. We never talked about when it was published, when it was written, who wrote it. None of
it. Oh, yeah, because it was a rando commando.
It was a rando commando. So we just jumped into it. Yeah. Also, that one was... I think 2/3 Matt, 1/3 Alan. So at least it wasn't a full Matt.
The Most Dangerous Game was my pick.
Yeah, and then everything else is Matt. It wasn't Matt. a full Matt, like some of the other rando commandos we've done since.
The dice just love Matt.
They do.
Now we can't do anything about that.
Y'all say that wasn't a full Matt. If you recall from listening, Most Dangerous Game was going to be my pick.
It was
going to
be your pick.
Right,
for property,
that's true.
And Alan snaked it. So,
it's 3/3 Matt and 1/3 Alan.
Yes.
Alan and I share joint custody of the property.
Right.
Everything else was him.
Yeah, boy, I don't roll the dice on those to the audience.
I do.
Alan rolls all dice in this project, so so we did this as a CW drama comic book, and we had some wild ideas that I loved, like the whole thing's in VR. And
I love that we took advantage of the medium, like the visual ways that a story can be told in a comic book by breaking the fourth wall to the reader, but not interacting with the characters. I thought we did that very well, too.
Yeah.
And like, we talked about putting in little details like graphical glitches that wouldn't really necessarily be noticed until you, like, reread the book. And they'd be like,
Because it's, like, one of the final, like, twists of the thing is that it's been VR the whole time. So, So I mean, we figured that earlier than the end, but that is the like it wouldn't be revealed until like after the final kill. So,
all right. So, we're gonna kind of dive back into this world, and I have some ideas. We had talked about at the end of that episode a good sequel idea was like our final girl goes on to like start to undermine the group and work with it and that kind of thing. And having these moments where she runs into some of her teammates, but they don't remember any of it because they wipe the mind of everyone but the winner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this volume of the comic book, here's kind of the pitch that I want to make for y'all is she's going to start doing some rebellion stuff, but this one is going to be all about them testing her and like testing her loyalty on it. So they're going to make her run the game. The next game.
Like, hold on. Like, she's the one controlling when the rain turns on and stuff.
Like, she takes the game director master. Chair. Yeah.
I like the idea, but how, I don't think that would be very dynamic.
Okay.
Because that would entail her sitting in a chair being watched the whole time, you know?
Okay, so then maybe what she needs to do is she needs to be one of the hunters.
That's what I was thinking. If she would be a hunter and she would try to undermine through there, either by like making it look like she killed the people and having some sort of like cheat code or whatever that lets it look like they're dead, but they're not actually dead, so they don't get their minds wiped at the end because they didn't actually die.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the participants, and like maybe she's doing something where like she's also killing the other hunters and hiding that somehow. Not 100% sure on the hows, but that's what I thought based on what we were talked about last time.
So then here's kind of the other thing that I want to do is we're going to have this moment near the beginning where she does meet one of her friends, and I want it to kind of be like someone who had been more technically adept in the first volume. And
we did talk about there being a hacker, right? Yeah. Like a hacker character.
So I want us to bring that person back in. We didn't go really deep on any of the characters in our first part with this. And that's fine.
So,
when you say bring them back in, are you implying that the memory wipe can be undone?
Because I think
there are two roads that we can go down.
Okay.
Because it depends on how you view the brain. It could be the view that the brain is more of a actual hard drive where you can delete the information, but if you go back in, you can actually restore the information if you know what you're doing. Or that the brain is much more malleable than that, and once it's removed, it cannot come back.
Honestly, I had not considered either of those, and just like our main character spends a lot of time convincing this person of it.
Okay, so because
then we can. I also had another idea that I'm putting a pin in right now, so don't forget it in a second. There's like recordings of it, so she's like, no, we were friends in there, like you just got your memory wiped, and if they like semi believe her or whatever, at some point later on she can just like have footage, like find the footage of it and be like, no, see, like this is what they did.
Well, and even though I say that with the brain being malleable, repressed memories are a thing, so it could be that they just buried the memories in the subconscious.
There's also I guess it would be neuroscience idea that every time you think of a memory, it changes because you are reaccessing the same path. So like your memories physically in your brain change every time you think of them. So maybe something to do with, I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I like the idea that they cannot remember, but that like she can show them like footage and be like, no, we were friends. And then like, so then they like believe her.
Yeah.
Also, so for the main character who doesn't have a name.
Yeah, we dropped a lot of the ball on details on that one, but
that we kind of got caught in the wash on that, but that's okay. It was a random commando. Those ones are loosey goosey. I don't remember. I want to say it's April, but that's the name of the Van Helsing in Dracula, which this is the problem with doing two in a row is I had to do two researches in a row and I don't have a lot of space up here. What if she is running the game, except she's also in the game?
Okay, interesting.
We don't reveal that, though. We have a mysterious, like, hunter, like someone who's killing the hunters that is just, like, a ghost in the machine. And we like, set up a lot of, like, red herrings as to who it could be. And eventually we learn that, like, oh, it's character, it's main character.
Mm, okay.
Just doing that from the outside.
I dig that a lot.
So that way we can have her, inside. We can still get the drama of like, now you're in charge and you gotta kill everybody and stuff. And then we can have like, who's this other mysterious character? Because like, I think last time we had, I forget, I don't think we named anybody. I called him
Duke.
Yeah,
at one
maybe
point there was
once,
a Duke.
Who is like the main killer, like who's like the one that she kills at the end to win the game. So we can like, maybe you like think it's him, but it's not, like it's clearly different shape and different outfit. And
see,
like,
when
it's
you
just,
say
like,
ghost
someone,
in
like,
the machine, I took that more literally, that like in the visual language of the comic, it's so there was, I can't remember what it was. It may have been something in Orpheus Protocol. But Rob described something as like wearing an invisibility suit, but it got damaged, so only splotches of them were visible. So like you could see part of a masked face, you could see like part of a shoulder and like a hip. Like when you say ghost in the machine, that's almost what I see, is something formless, something to add to that mystery, not necessarily like, oh, you can kind of deduce from the body shape that it's female. It's just a literal ghost that's murdering people. And yeah, you catch like weird glimpses when their suit gets fucked up or when like the program gets damaged. That's when you catch odd glances.
I like that. I had been thinking when Jake said that she was also being this hunter in there, that it was kind of like she had requisitioned a pair of like AR glasses.
Mm.
So that, you know, like she sold it to the council or whatever. It's just like, yeah, so I can watch what's going on without, and like I can still move around and talk to everybody and still engage, but I can keep an eye on what's going on. But she can really use them along with just
right,
some like gloves that have like haptic connections in them to like jump into the game. And since all that's like, there's no actual like virtual reality connection, all that would show up is like some ghostly shape, and she can really only use like the hands.
I think we can have it a couple different ways. I think, because I think if we're already having like the conceit that she's outside and inside, then like I think we can play with that a lot, especially because now we, like, the audience knows it's VR. It's a simulation. Mm-hmm. So we can do a lot more like weird stuff. But also I like the idea that they're like, the first act, there is this like formless glitch monster that is killing people, and then we don't get a good look at it for a while because mm-hmm. you can't yet. And then, you know, in act two, there is like a reveal of like, oh, there is a shape. It just can go invisible through what we know as cheat codes, but it's not cheat codes. It's just, it's program specifics from the outside, because mm-hmm. she's the GM. And then eventually, like when they figure out like, oh, it's, that's someone, that's not like a thing doing it, that's like a person, like then we can be like, oh, it's a hunter, and like reveal it as like a hunter, and like give her like an outfit, and you know, call her like the operator. Yeah, or something. She has a cool code name. And then at the end it's like, oh no, that was Katie, you know, double fucking this place up, because she needs to figure out how to show that she's still cool.
So,
but also,
what I'm getting from
she
this,
does hate
and I think
them.
It's the biggest compliment so, that I can give it. What I'm getting from this is a little bit of Death Note vibes, of she is playing two games at once. So she has the forward face of, I am doing what you want me to do, I am here, I am cool. And then she has the backward face of, I'm going to fuck your shit up. Which, if you haven't watched Death Note, the main character, Light, who is a certifiable asshole, is a perfect student, but also Kida, the worst serial killer in the history of the world. And he plays both of those roles very, very specifically and very, very intentionally. And that's kind of how I'm seeing Katie, is every single thing she does is calculated. And when you just did.
Did we give her a name?
You said Katie, and I liked
it. Did I say Katie? Did we say Katie last? Did we say Katie last time?
It just made me think Katie Sackhoff, and I was like, if I like that. I like the idea of Katie Sackhoff playing this character. Well, you know what I mean, but like someone like that.
But also
for the character, right? Also it's a comic book.
Also random. Amy Jo Johnson is directing a season 2 episode of Lois and Clark. Yeah. But anyway, so Katie. Yep. Is everything she does is extremely intentional, because I think what made the first go round of this cool is the rereadability, is so people could go back to the beginning of the comic book and they'll pick up things that they didn't pick up before. I kind of want to do that again, that things that Katie does are extremely specific, that when you go back with the knowledge of what you have at the end, make a whole lot more sense within context.
Right. Yeah, because so if I think the twist of this time is that Katie is inside the machine, right, and operating it, right? So that's the cool thing we can play with for the you know, your read through, your rereads. So like, I feel like a lot of it we have to treat as like a thriller, like the outside stuff with her doing the operating, mm-hmm. Like the actual like GMing, she needs to, because there's higher ups, right, that she's obviously answering, yeah, to. If you're like, oh, you're running the game to prove you're loyal because you didn't seem happy about this, then like there's got to be like scenes of like higher ups being like, well, obviously she's going to give allowances to the, mm-hmm, to the prey.
She's still in that,
she was
mindset.
One and
we
she's
haven't
still,
gotten
you
to
know,
her yet.
No, because I feel like. Yeah, because I feel like the like every single game doesn't have a winner from, yeah, the prey, mm-hmm, side. This is only like a very rare thing that like the prey gets, you know, that they win and they get to join the circle. So the what was I saying? So like a lot of her stuff is going to be like, oh, she's going too easy on them. Well, we knew that, but as long as she's, you know, still playing within what we consider to be like
parameters,
the,
yeah,
rules, then that's fine. And then there's also inside there, we have our characters that are like our new group of people who are like, what's going on? Where, you know, how do we do this? People are dying. And then we have like hunters, and then we have the ghost that's in there that is, everyone will assume is like, something, and then like I think we can set it up a couple different ways to be like, is it a like an actual glitch of the system? Is it a person with a specific ability through cheat codes? Because we know that it's a game now, so we know that they can get cheat codes, like that they're like in-game powers or they can go invisible, or is it something else? And then we can just like kind of layer all these things together and at the end be like, like pull the string on like, yeah, a mm-hmm, slip knot and be like, it's just one string.
I like that a lot.
It was never tied.
So I wanted her to bring in the hacker character to do a couple things. One, it becomes a good red herring for the ghost, right? Because especially if we like slowly do like flashbacks to, mm-hmm, her rebuilding this connection,
yeah,
with,
oh,
the hacker,
yeah, yeah,
character, then we can have it so that it seems like the hack. So she brings the hacker in as a new program. She's like, hey, she impressed me in the last game. Give her a test run. I've talked to her. She still doesn't remember. Like, I know you're not going to trust me on this, but I think she's a valuable asset. So they'll be looking at the hacker real close.
Right. Plus, like, they know from years and years of however long of doing this game that, like, no, the memory wipe is solid. You can't, yeah, those babies are gone. Mm-hmm. I do like that idea a lot. Also, I think I remembered that we called her a librarian. Like, I just, like, offhandedly said, like, she's just some librarian who doesn't want to die today, and that's, like, how she makes it through.
Yeah.
I feel like we can use that in the outside of her, like, finding things that are buried in code just because she's so used to, like, looking things up, and she's really good at searching.
Researching and digging, yeah.
And, mm-hmm, digging. So, like, she finds, like, a whole lot of, like, things that are in the game that, like, they didn't, like, necessarily... not like they didn't know about, but they were like, oh, no one's used that for years. No one, like, that's outdated tech. We don't know, like, that can't work together because of whatever. And she's like, well, if you just stitch these two things together, it does work. And so, like, that's another setup for, like, she figured out how to be in the game and out of the game, and she could be invisible because she found an invisibility code and, like, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love this. So we need a couple of things. So we're gonna bring back in Katie and our hacker friend. There are
Hacker friend needs a name.
They do, yes. We're gonna bring them back. We're probably gonna have a bunch of the same hunters from last time, because the hunters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like, most likely, like, that super drama rain guy is gonna be in here again because that was too good.
I feel like he should be killed immediately. Oh, yeah. This time.
Oh yeah.
Because he is like because that's Duke, that he's the super drama rain, like, it starts raining right before he does a kill, because like, that's his, like, his signature thing that he likes. And I feel like we introduce our new characters, our new, like, inside group,
right,
of Prey. Mm-hmm. And then we do it sort of similar to the last, because like the last time, like, we started off with like, here's a big macho character. He gets decapitated right away.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and I don't think we should have that same character, but I think we should do the same setup. And that, so if you just have recently reread the first volume, you look at the second one and go, oh, this is exactly the same way the first one started with Duke. Like, and mm-hmm. that guy's like a nasty, nasty killer. And then, like, dude gets ghosted. Like, the ghost just, like, something happens, and everyone's like,
ooh,
what the fuck is out here? If the ghost can kill, if this thing just killed Duke right away.
So I just had this panel in my head of, like, Duke's corpse on the ground, and the rain reveals a silhouette.
There's just rain coming down that's being, like,
exactly
in a shape.
In
yeah.
a shape.
Yeah, dog. And then
the next panel is no rain, no shape.
Yep.
Yeah, just, like, gone, because, like, Duke's
gone.
Dead.
Yeah,
the
Duke's
rain is
dead.
Over.
The rain's
yeah.
gone, and whatever was revealing this shape is also gone. Like,
you
don't know if the shape is there or not.
I like that a lot.
I love that.
I just had an idea, and I don't know if we should say, if it should be a thing that we do at the end of this one, or if we should save it for Volume 3.
Well,
because if we're doing two, we might as well do a yep. third. I know in the Dracula one, I said I like it when a movie just has a sequel and dips, but
comic books can...
Sometimes trilogies are
satisfying.
Comic books
can go on. I also have an idea for a third that we'll talk about, but go ahead.
But let's assume that it's going to be for this one.
Okay, so if it is for... Because it can work for either. Is that since the ghost is killing the hunters...
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The hunters get their memories wiped. So when they come out, they're like, what am I doing here? And everyone's like, what the fuck happened? I don't know if we should, because if we save it for the end, because I don't know if we, like, specifically said that, because it, like, we don't see outside at all until the very end of the first one.
We
don't know if they stay in the machine the whole time or if they get out as soon as they die.
I think we had implied, or this is how I interpreted it last time, that the hunters got out of the chairs immediately and went to the party to watch the rest of it.
Yes.
Okay.
But the Prey did not.
Yeah, the Prey
right.
stayed.
So maybe...
So I'm fine with
so
that.
So what does...
But I don't want Duke to get his memory wiped. Because I want Duke to be the agent of the council that's starting to poke into Katie's shit.
Well,
I want him to have a grudge.
Well,
my question becomes, what do we gain by removing the hunter's memory?
We remove
what,
the hunters.
What is... But, like... And I guess what I'm asking, would they still remember that the game is a thing? Or is it not just the events of the game that are wiped, but the full existence of the game is wiped?
I feel like it would be the full existence, and I feel like on... I don't know, like what we gain in the long run, but Katie gets karmic justice at the very least.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Well, so...
I actually know what we gain. What we gain is we clear the board of hunters so that when the next game happens in Part 3... We have to go back to, like, the old, grizzled, really, like, really hard-edge people that had just been like, this isn't fun for me anymore. There's no thrill.
Right. Also, some of them probably engaged in the game when it was killing actual humans in real life for sport.
So we go back to these, like, basically it's a way to clear the field so that the actual, like, higher-ups have to come and play.
So I think I have something a little bit elegant, maybe, that can help us fix the Duke situation. So if Katie is the one that's engineering, now probably got her hacker friend involved in how to do the memory wiping, the first time she tries it, which is Duke, the first person she ghosts, it doesn't work completely. It buries things, but it doesn't remove them. So go ahead, Jake.
It also could, it could just be a, like, a timing thing. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't have the requisite, things set up yet. Because it happened so early in the game that, like, he's like, oh, I died. Well, like, I've never
her
died
and
this
the hacker
early.
Haven't got it implemented yet.
But
yeah, so then later on we can do it as sort of like a, like, the glitch is deteriorating the system now and give that red
so
herring.
Yes, but by the way, we're setting up Katie. Do you think she would take out Duke if she wasn't confident that she could take him out?
I have an answer for that.
I don't. What I'm saying is she doesn't know that she can erase their memories at all yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Like that's the thing she finds over the course of the game. And we can set it up as, like, she's looking for stuff. And at some point she finds it and, you know, a throwaway line of, oh, I wish I had this earlier, you know, kind of thing. But
I also have an answer for Duke.
Okay.
Duke's a drama queen, gamer boy who wants popularity on top of fame. Duke doesn't want this to be a secret game. Duke's working with Katie. Like, I don't think it's friendly. I think they hate each other. But I also think,
I also think
he's just kind of like, I have these skills. With this game, I could be the most popular esport boy in the world.
Oh yeah, he could be making infinity dollars on Twitch if they were allowed to stream it. Yeah, but
it's
like a stupid secret thing in a basement
somewhere. People get to watch me be amazing. Fuck that noise. I want my follower count. So yeah, I'll help
like
you tear
that.
This shit down. I get to run it when it's
done. I like
done.
That. I don't think he wants to run it when it's done. I think he wants
to,
like,
it live. Like, I think he wants to be the poster child of it when it goes live.
Exactly. So here's what I like about that is that way we can, because, like, this is the episode of how we can have it. We can have them both. Mm-hmm. We can eat our cake and also keep it somehow.
Can it be pie since you were eating pie earlier and I'm jealous of you eating pie?
It's all gone now. I can mail you a slice, but I don't know.
Not sure how well that
you're not going to get there in time. I could put it on dry ice and hope for the best.
I am going to try to find out how Divinity, because I'm probably going to mail y'all some of that. That's neither here nor there.
Divinity is very good. That's like the marshmallowy stuff.
Love that.
Southern Divinity.
Yeah, I love that. So with Duke, we have it so, like, he's the first one eliminated, right? So that means he's the first one at the watch party who is not a hunter, who is a hunter, who wasn't not playing. So then he can, like kind of run distractions, but it just looks like he's pissy that he lost so quick, but he's just like, he's running, you know, running game on them. And we don't reveal that again until the very end where, like, Katie's like, all right, that's the game. And then, like, it's revealed that, like, the way that the players were killed is they don't forget because they didn't actually die. It just looked like they died, and that Duke didn't, he died, but it was on purpose. And then so we can have that, like, that scene of him being like, okay, it's next time we bring this thing down, because, like, now that we have thrown a bunch of wrenches in the gears. And, like, I like that. And especially if she's still like, I think you're a fucking shithead. I still do not like you, but this is the best way to do it. I think that brings a lot
I
of
do
drama.
I like that. And
later.
It's a twist that we can easily set up and pay off well that won't be seen coming because, yeah, Duke's a dick. Like,
well,
and Katie hates him. Like, it is very clear in all of their interactions, they don't like each other.
And I think even better is in the third volume, Duke's the villain. Like, we can just say that right now. My idea, Duke is the villain.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, like, so he is the villain, but it is, it's,
you have to team up with the villain to kill the bigger threat first.
So, yeah, I like that a lot. I also think that, like, we can get kind of weird with Volume 3.
Oh, I have some weird for Volume 3. Do we actually want to just talk about Volume 3 real fast?
I want to get a little bit more Volume 2 sorted out first.
We need our new prey.
So, we need our new prey. We need some new folks. Because
they'll actually persist this time. Like, the whole group of them will persist this time.
Which is funny, because I was about to ask the question, do they matter? Do the prey matter to the story we're trying to tell?
I think at least one or two of them have
I think a couple of them have to, because the reader at the very least has to believe that it's the same thing happening to them that happened to Katie in the last book, right? Even if, like, at the end it's revealed that, like, Katie's been doing some shenanigans so that, like, they don't forget and like, that's how everything kind of works out.
Do we want... Like, so if Katie's running the game, does that mean she picks the victims?
I think there's another group that is picking them.
Okay, so maybe that's the checks and balances, is the game master creates the game, but there's a separate body that chooses. Because before, it was people who had lived in this city for a certain amount of time, whether it was 2 years or 2 days, were selected and then put into a VR simulation of the city that they lived in.
Oh, I think that's still happening, but like, 2 years to 2 days? Like,
well, that's what I was going to ask. A, are we in a new city, or is it some other setting? B, is it kind of a random lottery? Like, they literally take the census and they put in parameters, age, health, comic booky shit, and then hit R for random, and it spits out 10 names.
I don't think it's random. I think what it is, it's more, we had used as a reference point the Cabin in the Woods control room last time, and I want to touch back on that. I think there is a list. Like, there is a, we have to have this, we have to have this, we have to have this, we have to have this. And they go through who's available, and it's like, cool, this is our cheerleader type. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to throw some tropes out there. This is our jock type. And, like, there's probably, like, a dozen of each of them, or, like, half a dozen of each of them, but...
I think what it is, is that the people playing the game, and, like, the hunters, and the people running the game, who are mostly... former hunters, right, who have, retired. I also think that some people in there are just, like, super fucking old. Right. But they're in VR, so it doesn't matter, right?
You know, this has some, like, Get Out vibes, yeah? Like, you have this super strong hunter that's, like, a fucking bodybuilder. They die, and then the next panel, it's just, like, some decrepit 70-year-old... No, not 70. Some decrepit 90-year-old man crawling out of a VR pod.
Yeah.
Like, being in a body. Ooh, I like that. I love narratives where you have, like, weird cognitive dissonance between body and mind.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them are, like, still like, oh, no, I still want to be there. I think some are, like, bored with it. I think some, like, maybe have, like... my hand-eye coordination is not as good as it used to be, and somehow that affects it. Things like that,
games. In their video games.
Yeah, like I straight up, like if I watch Fortnite, I literally nothing. It looks like nothing. It looks like I'm watching TV static. I cannot tell a single thing that's happening on the screen. So, and I'm only 32. When I watch my little brother play Apex, which is a shooty game, I can barely understand he's grabbing shit, and he knows what it is, and even though it's just, like, this little black box, that's a scope, and I'm like, okay, if you say so, like, he's just grabbing shit and doing that, and, like, I know that he's doing something, and I can tell that something is happening. When I look at Fortnite, it looks like nothing. It looks like absolutely nothing to me. So, like, I feel like there are some people who are like that, who are like, the game's too advanced, I can't fucking tell what's going on. I miss when we just killed real people.
Remember when we were out
in the
woods
with a gun,
Betsy, my rifle, and I would just drop a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and but so what I think we do is we have the hunters playing, and we have the people who were hunters or just like running the game for whatever, because of sadistic reasons, or they're rich and bored or whatever. They're the ones who pick the types of people that they would like to kill.
Mm.
And then that is who gets from the census selected, or from
so it's
whatever database.
A little bit, so I remember in one of the Purge movies, they did like a weird auction of like, you have the opportunity to kill this type of person. So it's almost like it's a weird fucked up menu. So I almost see like the start of, or whenever we reveal this, they're at the party, you know, they're all dressed up in their finest, and they get a menu. But instead of being food, it's different types of people, and they have to select, you know, three of the list, turn it in, and then that's how they get selected. I like that.
And we can actually show because this time.
Because we can do, like, we can show that this time, because we start outside, and we, I know we usually operate on 3X structure because it's easier and it's cleaner, but like if we do it on 5X structure, like act one is outside, act two is we're in the game and now there's people there. But the other thing that we need to remember is that like Katie had a group of like six people that she was with in the beginning of hers,
right?
Yeah,
that was not the only group, that was not the only people in there. It's a whole city, there's like 20 hunters or however many, and like so they're killing tons of people all over the place. So there's like you can pick like however many people you want, I guess. Like it's because I feel like Duke is like, I want to kill an ex-Army Ranger, I want to kill like the toughest people, and then like somebody else was like, I want to shoot down a librarian, you know, like, you know, like hunt you know, just weaker people because I'm an asshole.
You know, there are other ways that we could take it to make more of a political statement. Because you know that there are going to be hunters that are racist, homophobic, you know, xenophobic, Islamophobic, that kind of thing. Those are the ones that obviously need to be punished the most. Also, I think it's kind of funny. I don't know what made me think of this. In the original recording, we talked about the hunt being canceled. The hunt actually got released.
The hunt has come out.
Yeah,
and
I heard it's okay.
I almost watched it the other night just because I really love Betty Gilpin, and I've been hankering to watch something she's been in, and that's there. And I feel like it's probably a pretty easy watch. If it's not like a good or bad movie, probably a pretty easy watch through. But I just haven't yet. But I definitely feel like there's a lot of that stuff that we can play with. Just like, some of these people are real assholes. Some of them, I feel like if we showed that Duke is like not the worst of them, like that would be like a really good way to set up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if we give him just little moments where like somebody that he's talking to gets the menu handed to them and they're just like real gross about what they're choosing to kill, and just like have the look on his face be just like disgusted with them for a minute.
Yeah, because Duke is, like, and that'll also set up that, like, Duke is here because he likes the eSport MDG that doesn't exist outside of this room.
Mm-hmm. And he also knows that he's not actually killing people.
And, the fun of it is it's a fun game that he likes to play. Other people are like, I want to do bad stuff.
I want to do a murder.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. That actually begs an interesting question. I think it would be interesting to explore, and I'm not entirely sure how we would explore this, but I think it would be interesting to explore knowing the hunters know that what they're doing is virtual reality. They know they are not actually killing people. How would that change their tastes? Quote unquote. Like, do we have a throwaway line of, when this was back in my day when we did it this way, these were the type of people I hunted, but now I have to hunt these types of people. Like, kind of give that generational shift. Does that make sense? Any sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing with it, like they know it doesn't kill it. I feel like a lot of it can be hand waved away by they're all just rich assholes who are so out of touch with the rest of the world that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, there can definitely be someone who's, like, some, like, guy who's like, oh, I like killing women because, like, they scream mm-hmm. the best, you know, or some shit like that. And it's just like, and then Duke's there just like, yeah.
I just want to play the game again.
I would love a platoon of Navy SEALs. Like, like, can you get SEAL Team 6 in here? I think that would be fun.
On getting a SWAT team versus me? Is that happening yet?
Yeah, like, because, like, I feel like that is, because, like, I feel like he's won a couple of these, right? Because, like, and that, like, if you're a hunter and you win, it comes with prize money. If you are a prey and you win, it comes with getting to be a hunter and probably some prize money also, because, like, they're rich.
Right.
Money does not matter to them. But, like, I feel like that's a very interesting thing, because we set up, like, the first game, like, here's this asshole who's, like, killing everyone he can. And maybe last time he was just trying for a high score run.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just why he was killing literally, instead of, like, just, like we said, we showed that, like, he specifically, like, the people he picks are, like, people who are capable, like, you know, like, former military, like, or MMA fighters, things like that. And, like, last time he's like, oh, I was just going for a high score run. I was just trying to kill literally every single person I could in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's why, that's the only reason he ran across Katie's group. It's just because, like, he was like, I gotta get everybody. So yeah, I think there's a lot of cool stuff we can do with that, like on that end. I don't know how, like, how, okay, all right, here's the next thing we need to talk about. We're at about 43-ish minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just real quick, the new group that we follow mm-hmm. in there, how is their thing different, aside from there is a ghost who is, like, sort of protecting them, but, like, also sort of, we definitely need to show that, like, the ghost, like, is doing some kill stealing, and mm-hmm. that's so that, like, when that person dies, they're not actually dead, so they don't count and won't get their memory wiped.
Right.
But, like, I feel like a lot of it is, like, oh, these hunters are also getting picked off. Something's broken in the game. Like, is it Katie? Is it the new hacker? Like, what's going on? And then, you know, we reveal later. But, like, what do we do differently for the actual group this time? What are some cool, like, set pieces we can do? Because now that we know it's a video game, we can get weird with it. Because, like, we don't need to hide that from people.
Amusement park.
Heck yeah, an amusement park.
House of Mirrors. Like, going into a fun house.
I feel like that is, like... like a really solid, like, I don't know how, like, this is like, we said this is a graphic novel, right?
Yeah.
This is all one thing. I feel like that is, like, a really good part. I don't think the whole thing should take place, obviously, in there, but, like, that would be a really cool, like,
use it for a set piece. Like, a big thing that happens and they are funneled into a literal funhouse.
What if this time, instead of just, like, surviving, because that's basically all the first group was doing, is, like, just trying to survive. What if this time it's, like, they're trying to actually get somewhere specific? Like, I don't know if, like, we set up that, like, they know of, like, a safe place or...
What if when in that first kill where the ghost kills Duke... When the scene changes and she's not there and the rain's gone, all that's left in her place is a flash drive.
Okay.
Or like a computer device or something that's just like, go here. Basically, it just like flashes directions to them occasionally, pointing them in different places.
Okay, so they got to follow it to a place, and that, because that can, like, lead us to a whole bunch of cool set things. Because I also, like,
it can even be like she's using them as bait to set up other hunters, or is guiding them away from some hunters. Like,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Because that way we're not just doing, like, the same thing again, but it's like, oh, they have a mission, and then that also is just another layer of, like, what's going on, like. Where is this leading them? Because it'll seem like it's bait because they keep going to places where hunters are finding them. But then, like,
and it gives us a room to do more red herrings, because at one scene we can see, like, the hacker and Katie talking in the real world, like in a flashback, and on the desk behind her is all the parts that would make up this little device that she was like modeling it in the real world so that she could put it into the game world.
Right. And I also think that it could be like a, like the characters would have to like think something of, not just like go here, but like a, like if we get here, we'll be safe. This is like a bunker or like a, like some sort of safe house or something that'll like help us out. And or just like a, if we make it to here, we'll be free of the game. I feel like they need to either learn that or just like think that, just to give like them some sort of extra reason to follow this ghost blinker, this ghost beeper.
Right.
So it's almost as though we are introducing side quests for the victims, which I kind of like. I like the idea that the game has evolved. And so now they have missions for the huntees, that if they complete those missions, then, you know, they are less likely to be hunted. But what they don't know is that's not actually a part of the game. It's introduced to the readers as though it is. It's as though it's a new part of the game, but it isn't. It's Katie manipulating the huntees in order for her to be able to get to the hunters.
I think one of the people in this group should be a returning person.
Yeah.
From the last time. And so just to like, I don't know, give us like something a little bit to latch onto.
Yeah. Give us the perspective of, wait, that's not how it was last time.
Well, they wouldn't remember.
Oh, they wouldn't remember. That's true.
But we could do some sort of like, this feels very familiar, and like they do a couple things that like call back to it, and like, how'd you do that? It's muscle memory. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the idea that like the hunters think they are the player characters, the prey thinks they're the player characters. So like we can even do a throwaway line of like Katie be like, I was thinking about doing like NPCs or something this year. Like
right.
I don't know how to implement it though. Cause like we need AI and we don't have that in the way we need it. And like, just like little throwaway line of like thing that didn't work. And then like, now that's a new pin in the board of what the ghost could be, is like unfinished AI. That is, you know, just gone rogue and stuff like that.
All right. I dig that a lot. Okay, here's how I would like to close out this particular sequel and to set us up for a third down the road.
Hit me.
So this was a little bit just something that bubbled up in my brain and then modified by our good listener friend, The Edge of My Pete, over on our Discord. Hey, we have a Discord. Y'all could just go do
we
stuff
do have a Discord.
On that.
Yep.
So we asked if there was stuff that our listeners wanted to see or talk about or anything. And we've hit a bunch for his most dangerous game stuff that he put forward. But one of the things he said was, do any seasons of MDG feature a less realistic setting like fantasy or sci-fi? The setup for game 3 is it's Katie and all the people that she has gathered around herself, including Duke at the beginning, though that's a bit of a traitor wolf in sheep's clothing situation, and they're stuck on a space station with an open question of if it's VR or not.
I was thinking something similar of a, like, I feel like a space station is like a little much just because, like, I don't know if the readers would buy in that they could be there.
The only way I think that would work is if we set up in parts 1 and 2, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that this is far future. Like this, because I think the reading of it, honestly, especially with CW, is like the year is 2030X. Like it's not too distant.
It's always a little bit, a little bit in the future,
but not
very.
If we set up that, no, space travel is a thing, like people do that. Like I think if we set it up within chapter 1 and chapter 2, I think it could work, but it would need setup. I don't think we could just like drop it.
I don't want to accidentally invent a fourth volume.
Hey, I love this idea. Let's fucking go to town.
But okay, so this is just blue sky imagineering, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one is the setup, two is like the turn,
right?
Three is what you're assuming to be the like conclusion, mm-hmm. right? What if 3 is just it, like, it starts in a city and it just keeps getting weirder, like things start changing, and like so you know, like, it's definitely in there. But the conceit of 3 is that at the end of the last one, a lot of hunters had their memories, specifically those related to the game, wiped, right? Just like completely wiped. And you know, maybe some other memories that got caught up in there, and so like that's like part of like just the karmic punishment, right? So then 3 is that since everybody, like, people have had their memories wiped, they know someone is doing something, and they assume it is either the hacker or Katie. I think we need to leave off Volume 2 in such a way that Katie and the hacker are not, like, clearly responsible, but it is sort of like, it's setting up them being like, next time we're burning this place to the fucking ground. And Duke being like, hell yeah, we are. And then I'm going to go public with it, and then I'm going to make billions, you know, A, with the technology, and B, on Twitch, doing esports, you know. Yeah. Being the dancing llama of this group, his carrot-headed man.
I will trust the words that are coming out of your mouth.
I appreciate you trying to reach out to the kids with the Fortnite, but...
Because, like, I don't know who the Fortnite mascot is. It's a llama, right? Because that's on all the stuff.
I know there's a banana.
So,
I know there's a tomato.
Well, that's why we said Duke had a carrot head in the first one. Is this sort of a reference to the tomato-headed man? But the like on the toys, because I would see the toys at Target when I worked there, and there was a lot of llamas. And I think that's it's like a llama in a shopping cart. I have no Fortnite looks like nothing to me. It is like trying to remember what LaCroix tastes like.
I feel like we've never sounded older, and we should move on. What's the end of 3? What's going on there? Like,
so the end of 3 is all about, like, maybe the higher ups have gotten wind of, like, you know, have gotten smart that it's Katie, and she's like, okay, yeah, but because you let me into the system, I have a whole bunch of contingencies, and if you don't, like, I could blow this whole place to the ground, or you all get in the VR, I get in the VR, some of my people, like, and friends and the people from last time who didn't get their memories erased get in the VR, and Duke and any other hunters they want, and if someone on my side wins, then
we have control.
We get the game. If you win, you can wipe all of us, and we will go back to not knowing, right? And then that way we can set up that, like, Duke is on the other side, but he's actually on Katie's side. But he's actually, actually on his side because he wants to, And then we end, so it's like they start in the city, and maybe everyone agrees that, like, it's like a random chance whether or not you remember that you're in VR or not. So some people are, like, on either side, or hunters and unhunted. And then it, like, they start in a city. Some parts of the city are being overgrown, like it's post-apocalyptic. Parts are, like, magic. Parts are sci-fi. Like, it's just, like, every, like, area is very weird. It's like Disney World, right? And then however we end it, I feel like we should end it with either Duke revealing that he's been on his side and Katie, like, hitting some sort of kill switch that she had planned or something. And everybody wakes up, like, all at once. Everybody gets out of the VR all at once. And then they're on a space station or they're somewhere else. And now this last version is it still a game? What's happened? You know, like, what happened? What are the stakes? Like, you know. And I feel like that we can, so Volume 4 can be, like, very metaphysical in the, like, what are we doing here? How do we get here? Like,
how do we know it's real?
I legit thought you were aiming that the trick on 3 was that it was going to be revealed that an AI was in charge of the game. And that's why everything was weird. Like, an AI had taken over.
I mean, we could still kind of do that. Like, I don't see why we could. Maybe that's 4. Mm-hmm. Maybe 4 is, like, the kill switch is that, like, Katie put her AI that she talked about starting in charge. And, like, that's not going to go great.
That
for
doesn't
anybody,
end well.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, I love that, and we're about done with this. The next episode you're going to hear is our Dracula sequel.
We do real quick before we get out. We need a subtitle. MDG, II colon.
Oh no!
Too game, too
That's
dangerous.
Awful, but I don't know that I can think of a better one.
Predator and Prey.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I feel like they're like we can do some sort
Predator.
Of
Predator. No, that's stupid.
That's
nope.
Very bad.
You have me, then you lost me. What if it's just instead of like Predator and Prey, it's just Predator slash Prey.
I like that.
Stylized.
And then and that also kind of like does the who's the Predator, who's
exactly.
the Prey. Who's
that's
both,
what I mean.
Who's doing, you know.
It's that duality. Because I think that's what this chapter is focusing on, is the duality of the game, the duality of Katie, just what are the two sides? And I think that's easily represented, Predator, Prey.
And I think a lot of like the symbolism and like theming and motifs and all that of this entire thing is that like everything has two sides because of like... There's in the game, there's out of the game, there's what you're showing people, there's what you're hiding, like, there's...
And even the prey are hunting the hunt, like, we can have the prey kill a hunter. Hunter becomes the hunted.
And that can be a thing that we show up, at, like, that we show off with, like, the little blinky thing that, like, oh, this led us to a weapons cache. Like, oh, there's just a bunch of weapons here, now we can fight back, and then, like, now, like, oh, where's it leading us next? It helped us once, you know, maybe it'll help us more, and, like, you know, so yeah, we just give everything, like, two sides.
I love that.
Cool.
Yeah, anything like else that. We need to do to put a button on this one?
I don't think so. Mm-mm. I think we got it. Did we go over everything that that Pete asked?
Most Dangerous Game was published in 1924 in Collier's, the National Weekly, which was 5 cents an issue at the time, and it was a short story by Richard Connell.
All right. Yeah. Go team.
There was also a movie at one point.
Been several. Bruce Willis is doing an adaptation of it called Apex. It looks stupid.
All Bruce Willis movies are stupid now because I feel like he doesn't work for more than 3 days. Like he shoots for 3 days maximum, and that's all he does now.
Ever since that second G.I. Joe movie, it's just gone downhill.
I feel like it's been longer than that. I mean, that might be the peak of
it.
This is
interesting. I think this is one of the earliest adaptations that we did, because the not earliest that we did, but like the Most Dangerous Game only entered public domain in 2020.
Huh. Oh yeah, we did add this in fairly late in the.
Well, hold
wait,
on, didn't
wait?
We...
No, hold on. That can't be right.
That can't be right.
We did this in 2019.
To me,
is we did this first episode in 2019. Oh, no. I don't think
public domain day as of Duke University. The Most Dangerous Game.
Is that... Okay, I feel like that's... Hold on.
The internet's a liar. Who cares? Well, whatever it is now, it's fine. So the next episode you're going to hear is our Dracula sequel. Jake will be taking the reins on that one.
Yeah. You know what happened? I just Googled it. You know what happened? We might have got confused. It hit Canadian public domain in 2017.
Maybe.
So this the last episode was only legal in Canada until last year. Now it's been legalized in America as of last year. Don't it's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
We follow the rules. So, it's fine.
Yeah. Retroactive continuity is cool. So I guess I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
Cool, we can get out of here and get on to our next week.
And
we're recording today.
You've been rebooted.
Gotta hear that twice today.
Hey, everybody. You can follow us at RebootCast on Twitter, or you can email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. You can follow Alan at Alan_Sells. You can follow Jake at JJ_Mason, or you can follow me at Matt Hoadley. Thanks for listening. Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.